We all have our morning routine.
The kids ain't gonna learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie, let's go.
No.
Who don't drink in Rocklahoma?
Your.
Who else in the local car say yeah? Yeah!
Armpits of America.
They cut my beard and forced me to eat it.
Five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. It is time for Armpits of America. If you don't know it, it is a public service where Rich will give us a story. He will give us three options of where the story took place. We will then guess and then get to the what is generally news audio. So, Rich, what do we have today?
All right. I apologize for the vague story summary in this one, but I think most of the details you'll find out as this one goes along. We hear the audio, but I'll give you this. A man tried to hide his girlfriend from the cops. Did that happen in A, Georgia, B, Alabama, or C, Florida? I know I'm not giving you much here.
In Alabama, there probably would be no reason to.
Okay.
I'm going Georgia.
All right. I was going to pick Georgia, but to be different, I'll choose Florida.
Johnny Wall game with Florida. Florida coming through. Let's just let this one roll, shall we?
New at 11, police busted this man right here from Central Florida for hiding his legless girlfriend by stuffing her body in a plastic storage container. The girlfriend, Christy Lee Anderson, was on the run from U.S. Marshals. She was also wanted by the Polk County Sheriff's Office. She's facing charges for holding people hostage at a Burger King. She got in a shootout with police, which is how she lost her legs. Authorities spotted that boyfriend stuffing the four-foot woman in a container. They arrested both of them.
I think we found the perfect news clip. So much to digest.
Oh, there's like nothing even to say.
I mean, wow.
Like, I don't even know where to go with it.
I need to examine this like the Zapruder film.
And how did she, if she lost both her legs in the shootout
at the Burger King that she was holding
up, how did she get fixed to be able to hide in a plastic crate? And by the way, a plastic crate seems dangerous in that breathing would be an issue.
You would think so.
So man, it's probably forgot to poke holes in the side.
It's more of a mystery wrapped in a riddle.
Right.
All right, so she held up a Burger King.
Yeah, okay, she was holding up a Burger King.
Which is definitely worth a shootout.
With hostages. There were hostages there.
Right, because Lord knows when you clean out those gas registers, you're looking at least $1,000. So she robs the Burger King.
Sure.
She then gets in a shootout, which makes her... I don't even have jokes. I just want to know what went on.
Right.
So she gets shot, and so both her legs are gone, but then she goes on the run and goes to her boyfriend's house with no legs. How did she obviously just didn't have like bloody stumps. Like someone had to have done something to fix her legs.
Right. I mean, it's something to obviously stop the bleeding, or maybe she had like false legs, but he took them off to fit her in the container.
No, they said she...
Okay.
I
have a few more details here.
Okay.
It says Florida authorities wanted a woman who lost both of her legs in a shooting. They found her in a plastic tote where her boyfriend tried to hide her. It wasn't even a container. It was like a plastic tote.
Yeah, but that's still, I don't think, really great for breathing.
I don't think it is. They said the Lakeland Task Force went to a
Lakeland,
home.
That's where my grandmother lives.
After receiving information, 39-year-old Crystal Lee Anderson, of course, her name is Crystal, who was wanted on a warrant out of Orange County, was at home with her boyfriend. When authorities came to the home, the boyfriend told officials that Anderson was not there, but through a window, authorities saw Carr put a person in a plastic tote in one of the bedrooms. Carr was arrested for resisting arrest. Officials found Anderson inside the tote. She eventually surrendered to deputies without incident and was taken to the Polk County Jail. Her warrant for failure to appear stemmed from a 2015 incident in which she held people inside an Orange County Burger King hostage with a firearm.
Okay.
The news release from the sheriff's office said Anderson held the people inside the fast food restaurant hostage until she was involved in a shooting with a police officer.
Oh, so she was on the run for that long.
It said the
only... She avoided the police for that long.
Ooh, so she had to have kind of like black market surgery on her legs.
Yes.
Ooh, so it said that they reported that she was trying to confront a relative who worked at the restaurant with the gun.
Oh, so she wasn't trying to rob.
An officer went inside and told Anderson to drop her weapon, and she pointed the gun at him, causing the officer to fear for his life. The officer fired his gun, injuring her. She lost both her legs in the incident, was charged with armed kidnapping, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Law enforcement officer, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and false imprisonment. She did not appear for court on those charges, resulting in her arrest. So there you go. So she'd been on the run for several years, and that's when they put her.
She'd been on the run. That's right.
I did not mean it that way, but it came out poorly. She had been a fugitive.
She'd been a fugitive.
Okay. All right.
She'd been a fugitive.
Sure.
Right.
That's right. That's where my grandmother retired to.
Well,
Lakeland, Florida. What a wonderful place to be.
Maybe she's visited that Burger King before. Who knows?
What's that?
Maybe she's visited that Burger King before. You never know.
You know, the world was my oyster there in Lakeland, Florida. Where do you want to retire? Just, I don't know. No, it was a place with a reservoir.
All right. Well, story number two, a man was arrested for practicing karate in the park. Was that A, Georgia, B, Alabama, or C, Florida?
I'm going to say D, all of the above.
This has probably happened before. Many
if you go, places where the most people take karate, like adults, I'm going to go, it's the lowest education.
We didn't say if he was practicing alone, if he was actively trying to hit people, it might be a problem.
Every time I think of an adult taking karate, it's like, you know, something from Napoleon Dynamite or something like that.
Bow to your sensei. Bow to your sensei.
Yeah.
All right. So what are the choices again?
Just the three regulars. Alabama, Georgia, or Florida.
I'll go Georgia.
Florida. Why not?
Fred gets this side. We got a Florida doubleheader.
All right.
Let's take a listen.
Right now, a local man is locked up, accused of attacking swans at Orlando's Lake Eola.
There you go. Yeah. I mean,
attacking a swan.
Them bastards deserved it. looking at me all funny with their long neck.
What's the thought process there?
Sensei says you don't start on regular people, but listen, swans have 2 feet.
Sure
you can't just like go after a cat.
Not nearly as elusive.
No, they're very elusive. Swans, John, I will argue that they...
Swans are elusive?
It's like, yes, it's the Matrix. First of all, they're on 2 legs.
Okay.
So that's human-like. And then they're elusive in that they can get in the air a little bit, and then they can go in the water, so you're forced to use all your senses to beat them up.
I'm thinking this guy waded into a pond to chase one down. That's my vote.
You got to be able to attack from land and sea.
I see.
And air.
Sweep the beak.
Sweep the beak. That's good.
Yeah, these swans think they're all regal and nice.
Sure.
Yeah. This is, hey.
That's probably the thought process. Those swans think they're better than everybody else.
Yeah, look at that
time
swan.
For me to cut that bird down to size.
I'm majestic and beautiful floating
right.
in the lake.
Hell with you.
What do you got? Eddie Money's like, look at that thing. It's getting all the birds.
Can I have that when you're done?
It's getting all the bread.
He imagines it like the cartoon. It turns into like a roast turkey.
No. It just, there's an old guy like feeding the swans, and Eddie Money's dressed like a swan taking the breadcrumbs. I'll take that. Wow, look at all that Wonder Bread. Oh, yeah, that's the stuff. Bark, bark, I'm a swan. Bark, bark. Oh, look at that bread. That's it.
That's the stuff, anybody.
What are you going to throw? Oh, he threw a penny in the lake. Anybody's taking a dive.
Officers say this man kicked the birds while allegedly practicing karate.
Allegedly? I would say that's a fact.
Someone said it's the crane technique.
Oh.
That's not a bad joke. Not a bad joke.
And the guy looks exactly like you would think. He's rocking double
Lord.
Diamonds.
Oh, my word.
He's rocking
and
double
I'm sure
diamonds.
They're real.
Yeah, that's a salvia thing.
Kind of got that Donnie Wahlberg look to him a little bit.
Well, kind of.
A little bit.
Kind of. I think most people that take karate as adults do.
Sachelle Saunders joins us live from the Orange County Jail this morning. And Sachelle, you've learned that man could walk out at any time.
Yeah, Kirsten, he could.
Because of karate. I mean, you can't keep him.
Right. It's like a scene from an action movie.
Right. What was this? Stallone and Russell?
Oh, it was
Tango and Cash.
Tango and Cash.
Yeah. You can't hold him. He'll just go karate on everyone.
Yeah, Kirsten, he could, but maybe he's running out of money. He's already been in jail this week, and they didn't give him a high bond, only $1,000, something that some people feel like might be kind of low of what he did.
Well said.
Okay. Once again, Florida News reporting.
Thank you.
Oh, it's Orlando. It's not the smallest market.
Twice in 1 week, 34-year-old Rocco Mantella has seen the inside of a jail cell. The first...
If you're named Rocco, your parents are pretty much just guaranteeing you got petty crimes coming in your future. No one goes like, the Honorable Mr. Rocco Mengele. So he's like, defendant Rocco... Rocco Schmackler.
Rocco Majucci Esquire.
Yes.
You don't hear that a lot.
Yes. Hey, we have your new financial planner, Rocco. Come meet him. Oh, here's all my money. Take it.
Twice in 1 week, 34-year-old Rocco Mantella has seen the inside of a jail cell. The first time for Disney trespassing. This time for cruelty to animals.
It's not cute to harm animals.
Commissioner.
Well, says you.
I'd say that's a hot take.
What are you, the judge, jury, and the executioner?
I think he was just trying to harm fake giant animals when he went to Disney. Yeah, he had to pick a fight with Pluto.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He wanted to see if he's, you know, next step guy with costume.
It's not cute to harm animals.
Commissioner Patty Sheehan hopes Mantella's actions were caught on surveillance cameras. Witnesses say he walked the park kicking swans, quote, as hard as he could. His moves, they say, looked like he was practicing karate. He even attacked a sleeping duck.
I know a lot of them.
A sleeping what? A
sleeping duck.
Oh
my God.
Wait, what's ducks just sleeping? What is it, on his back? Sleep? How the hell, who's seen a duck sleep?
Its nose is all nuzzled down into its wing, you know?
Don't they do it in the water?
I don't know.
He even attacked the sleeping duck.
I know a lot of them. You know, I know them by name, and they're like my babies. And
all right, well, you're a psycho.
No kidding.
Found someone just as crazy. Okay, can you imagine if you meet, like, a girl on Tinder, and she's like, let's meet in the park, and she's like, here's Stan and Phyllis, and she's pointing at the birds.
You do the old Flintstones move where the legs move in the air, you can't get away fast.
Just, you're slowly backing away. Right. I know them by name. All right, you are exceptionally lonely. And you have a lot of time on your hands.
I know a lot of them. You know, I know them.
By the way, no one's innocent in this. The reporter, the guy who kicked the animals, this woman.
I know a lot of them. You know, I know them by name, and they're like my babies. And I think it's really disgraceful that anyone would harm an animal.
Them and these Cabbage Patch Kids I've been keeping since third grade. They're like my babies. Oh, well, come on. Come on, Phyllis. I can tell you what this woman looks like in 10 seconds.
So it just photoshopped any money peeking out of the inside of a swan.
Look at all that sweet bread. Oh, yeah.
Swan any money.
Swan any money. I'm going to take a bath in the lake, and then I'm going to eat bread like there's no tomorrow.
Hong Kong.
Quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack, quack.
Look at me, I'm beautiful.
Hey, get away, other bird. I'm the lead dog in here. Sweet, sweet bread. Sometimes I'll just climb a tree, and then I got my, you know, one time I got my head stuck in a birdhouse.
Did you really?
What's in here? Seed and honey? I've got two tickets. I'm stuck in a beehive. I saw all that honey. I've got two tickets. You know, Winnie the Pooh's named after me. Because I got my head caught in a beehive and I crapped myself.
Okay. Oh, really?
It's the Pooh, yeah.
And I was riding a horse, so I was Winnie the Pooh.
You're riding a horse, but you got your head stuck.
I was riding
in a
horse,
and you crapped yourself.
I stole a police horse to eat, and then I said, "What would go better than some honey?" And I stuck my head in there to see what was doing.
And then you crap yourself.
And then I crapped myself because I got stung a bunch.
And the author, A.A. Milne, or whatever the person's name is, who wrote Winnie the Pooh, just happened to witness all
of
this.
Well, it's A.A., you know why.
Why?
Because I met him in Alcoholics Anonymous. But that was the court. You know what? I wasn't even made to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. They used to have a bunch of donuts.
Oh.
Yeah, sometimes I'll go into the basements of churches.
Sure.
And I'll get coffee and
donuts.
You're
just hungry. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bready money.
Bready money.
Oh. The city checked and...
Wee-wah.
You sound pretty good in that clip, Swan Eddie Money.
Wee-wah, yeah. Bird, right? You know, hey, I love the water. Look at me. I'm all white and everything. Hey. Check my beak. Whoa.
Flap, flap, flap.
Flip, flop, whoop, scoop, whoop. Whatever the hell they say. Give me some damn bread. Sometimes when I used to tour Paris, I used to go to the cafes and get in with the pigeons.
You were dressed as a pigeon.
Yeah, people would leave the table and I'd be like, I know my bill.
The city check.
That's me playing the saxophone. 1982 in Billings, Montana.
The city check.
Two tickets to paradise. Take it away, Eddie.
The city checked. The
city checked. Is that before or after your teeth fall out?
I haven't had teeth since second grade. Please. I sold them for gum. Take it away, Eddie.
The city checked and couldn't find any swans that appeared injured. Mantella's now kicked out of two parks, Disney and Lake Eola.
Well, you can't get live without Lake Eola. All right. We will. We're talking to a man by name of Dan Devine about what's going on in the world of the NBA.
You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Looking at the statistics over the last 3 years of at least 30 possessions, out of all the guys that guarded Al Horford, Tristan is number one in the league defending Al Horford. So that's a good thing to know.
98.5 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Dan Devine from Yahoo Sports, been covering the NBA since 2009 for Yahoo. Dan, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. How are we doing today?
We're doing well, and we were playing that audio earlier. Why did it just occur to Tyronn Lue that Tristan Thompson was so effective against Al Horford?
You're right. Why wait till game two to figure this out?
Well, you know, you always want to have a trump card in reserve, and of course we can all agree that that is Tristan Thompson.
Yes, that's right.
I think it makes some sense given that sort of Cleveland's identity throughout the last couple of months, you know, when they've kind of gotten on their best runs have been as a space-the-floor offensive team, Kevin Love at center, draw the opposing team center away from the basket and try to create a lot of room for LeBron to you know, generate offensive opportunities in the half court with, you know, space on the floor with shooters. That's a little less, effective or attractive an option when Al Horford's the opposing center, and he's a guy that can defend out in space. He's a guy that can do the same thing on the other end of the floor, as you know, we saw with Embiid in the last round, and, you know, he's really comfortable making plays offensively at the three-point line. He's got a three-point shot that you've got to, you know, honor and defend on the other end. So it might neutralize that matchup a little bit for, you know, the effects that Cleveland's going to get from it. Whereas Tristan Thompson, you know, we know he's had, you know, success in the past against Horford as a, you know, just bodying him up and attacking the glass and being something that, that Horford's got to really manage on the inside. I still don't know if I was, you know, Tyronn Lue, if I would necessarily feel like I got to go right back to it right away. I got to switch completely because, again, you know, Cleveland doesn't score super great when, you know, Tristan Thompson's at center for them, but it's a look that he's going to have to look, you know, go to more frequently. And yeah, it's good for the Celtics and good for Celtics fans that he didn't really think too hard about it until after game one.
Does Brad Stevens make any kind of adjustment if they do start Tristan Thompson? Because I know that Aaron Baines has had a lot of success against Tristan Thompson. I mean, does he change anything, or do you just go with the five starters that you normally have?
I would imagine that if Lude sort of, you know, declared that and said that's the way we're going to match up, that's where Stevens would go as well and say, well, rather than concede anything to you, you know, if this is what you feel comfortable with, we feel completely comfortable with that too, because that was how we, took the run of play away from the Sixers last round. And you know, they believe that Baines can hold his own on the defensive glass against just about anybody, and that he can provide some of those same sort of matchup issues. You know, he's not a high volume 3-point shooter. He's not a 40% lifetime shooter or anything like that, but he makes enough of them to make you think, as he showed against Philly. So I would imagine that if Lou wants to go that way for bigger minutes, they would feel comfortable going to Baines there. But, this is the nice spot about having, you know, taking care of business so successfully in game one is, you know, you now get to dictate more than feeling like you have to get it dictated to you. And if Brad Stevens looks at it and says, I liked the matchups we got, even when Tristan Thompson was on the floor, I liked them enough that I feel like if we keep playing our way, we're going to force Cleveland to go out of their preferred rotation. That he's got the opportunity to do that without feeling like he's going to, got to give something up right away.
And more to that point, Dan, Cleveland still has trouble defensively. They had it all season long, and they kind of were able to camouflage it in the first two rounds of the playoffs. But, you know, we brought this up in the last couple of days. George Hill's not a good defensive player. J.R. Smith is not a good defensive player. And Kyle Korver is really not a good defensive player. Those three guards are part of the rotation. Cleveland's still got some problems here.
Absolutely, because they all have to defend somebody in this series. The Celtics don't present, you know, with the young wings they have, they don't, and you know, the size, the athleticism, the fact that all those guys are empowered to attack, and to, you know, when they get the open look, don't think about it, just fire it. Like, all of those guys make the Cavs defense have to account for somebody. And, you know, over the course of enough possessions, you know, one of those guys is going to break free. One of those guys is going to bust loose. The coverage is going to get mixed up. And, you know, Cleveland just need, for Cleveland to get back into the game, you know, they need to be better and cleaner on all of that stuff, on the way they switch assignments, on the way they handle, you know, off-ball actions where they can't just let, you know, Jason Tatum pop loose. They can't just let Jaylen Brown run free. These are, you know, guys that, if you're waiting for them to sort of freeze up or cough or gag in the moment, you're not seeing it. And, you know, they're playing sort of well beyond their years and really confidently and comfortably in the system. And Cleveland's not going to they're not going to be able to afford to wait for those guys to screw up. They're going to have to force some of those mistakes themselves.
Well, Dan, the big storyline, obviously, is that people look at what LeBron James did in game one. I mean, and we've been talking about how many plays he just took off. I mean, he just was walking down the court, didn't get back defensively. And I got to think in game two, this is something he is not going to do, at least as much as he did in game one. And I think we're all expecting one of those massive games like he had against Indiana. But the difference, I believe, between what happened in Indiana game two and here is that the Cavaliers barely won, and Indiana is not as good defensively. Am I correct in saying that? We might see a different outcome.
Absolutely. That's certainly possible. You know, Boston was the number one defense in the league all year long, points allowed per possession. And, you know, losing Kyrie Irving doesn't lower that ceiling because, you know, Terry Rozier is a better defensive player, longer, quicker, you know, all those sorts of things, and, you know, more locked in on the defensive end. So they're able to, you know, to match up defensively against just about any lineup the Cleveland wants to throw out there, and, you know, and you know, well drilled enough and you know, experienced enough in what Stevens wants them to do to be able to carry out those assignments. And the thing with that Indiana game in game two, you know, LeBron started with that crazy punch of, you know, whatever it was, 15 straight points to start the game or something like that, and that was a, you know, they blew an assignment on the last play of the game that got Victor Oladipo a wide open three that he missed. So like, LeBron can come out and sort of give you that, you know, crazy burst at the start. You can have that Godzilla start to game two, but if you stay with, you know, sort of stay with the game plan, you stay with what, you know, what has worked for you so far, you can still be there close and late. And yeah, if you're in that position, obviously you'd much prefer to be in the one that you were in game one, where you were up, you know, 20 early. But if you're in that position, if you're the Celtics, I think you feel pretty confident that you're going to be able to match up. Marcus Morris doesn't wind up being a LeBron stopper two games in a row, but you have more options to match up than I think Indiana did in that series, and you feel pretty confident taking your chances there.
You talk about matchups. Brad Stevens has been a master tactician all season long. He's gotten a lot done with less. We've had a debate here on the program the last couple of days about Tyronn Lue. In your opinion, is Tyronn Lue a good head coach or not?
I think he's a really good postseason head coach in that he knows kind of what levers to push and pull for his team at the big moments. You know, there are lots of questions about his rotation management. There are questions about whether he, you know, some of the lineups that, in terms of the advanced stats and the plus minus of the groups, don't necessarily bear out And, you know, he keeps kind of running with guys because he feels confident in them. You know, you can argue about whether or not he's making the right choices there, but, you know, the confidence that he had, you know, early in that Raptors series to stay with, you know, Kevin Love at the five really helped break things open for them, because once Love got a couple of shots to go down, remember, he looked awful in game one of that series, and once he got a couple of shots to go down, and once they continued spreading the floor against Toronto, it was just all over. They did not have the, you know, the horses to match up in against that bad offense. So I think he sees what the best version of his team can be, and he helps them get there. But that said, he's got to get them there more frequently in game two than he did in game one. Otherwise, you're going to go home, head home down 0-2.
Dan, isn't it weird that it seems like the Cavaliers miss Kyrie Irving more than the Celtics do?
It's bonkers, yeah. But I mean, I think we expected this to some degree. You know, think about, you know, what obviously the Celtics are not getting anything out of that end of the trade right now, but, you know, Isaiah Thomas isn't suiting up for the Cavs, and the guys that they got for him, like, I'll raise my hand on this. I didn't necessarily expect Jordan Clarkson to win the Cavs a championship, but I liked the way they bounced back in that deadline. I was like, oh, you have like now a handful of guys who have some juice, who have some athleticism, a couple of guys who can shoot threes. Larry Nance Jr. was like a better defensive big man than they had, because Tristan Thompson was basically awful most of the season and worked his way out of the rotation after he was injured. So like, I liked the way they reformed everything, and now it's, you know, a ghost town in terms of what you're getting from those guys, you know, game to game. The big sort of lever for them, the big bellwether guy there is George Hill. Like, if he is going to be able to run, you know, run some pick and roll, run the, beyond the ball so that LeBron doesn't have to do everything there, if he's able to knock down some open threes when he gets the shot, if he's able to run some, you know, pick and roll with Kevin Love, or, you know, sort of other actions that don't require LeBron to do everything and they can get some buckets out of it, that sort of loosens everything up for Cleveland and make things a lot easier. But at this point, we haven't been able to rely on that game to game. So, yeah, that's, I mean, in addition to LeBron having his, you know, expected gigantic extinction-level event kind of game two, which everyone's sort of got on high alert for, that's one, to me, you got to watch. Like, if George Hill can give them anything, and if they can get some of that Kevin Love, Kyle Korver two-man game going, that sort of opens up some more opportunities for Cleveland, and then, you know, we see where Stevens reacts from there.
All right, Dan Devine from Yahoo Sports, we always appreciate the time.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, sir. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
John.
Yeah.
What does this say? We're listening.
Laurel.
Okay, Fred, put your headphones on. Okay, Fred. Okay. Put your headphones on.
I was humming to myself, yes, and covering my ears.
Yes. What does this say?
Laurel.
Okay. So all of us in this room hear it saying Laurel.
Yes.
There is a large faction of people who hear this as Yanny. Y-A-N-N-Y. Now, you want to hear something weird? So I was in the other room when I first heard this, and I'm like, well, it's Laurel. It's absolutely Laurel. When I played it for you a second ago, John, I heard Yanny.
What?
This is one of those things like the dress that's going around right now, like that, is it blue, is it whatever? There are 50% of the people. First of all, now, the second time I didn't.
Laurel.
Okay, Laurel. That sounds like Laurel,
Laurel
to me.
Yeah.
Is there anybody that hears Yanny? Because this is one of those things that's like literally right down the middle.
What did this all come from? How do we know about this?
This is, it just, as of this morning, it's one of those things that started off with someone saying, I can't, like, I've got a friend who thinks this is Laurel, and I got another, and I think it's Yanny.
Yeah, but who, like, is it from something?
It's like, it's a random person, like when that picture of the dress came out. People saw, like, it's just a person. And now it's taken off, and there's people who swear it's Laurel, and there's people who swore it was Yanny. And what's funny is that when I first played it in the other room, I'm like, well, it's Laurel. But when I played it for you a second ago, John, for the first time I heard Yanny,
I said Laurel also.
Okay, everyone has said in this room has said Laurel so far. But for some reason, I actually...
Laurel.
I don't hear anything resembling Yanny.
No, neither nothing do I. That's three times I've heard it. I said Laurel.
Yep. No, okay. Nothing Laurel. Even remotely.
If anyone hears...
What does it mean? You're a psychopathic killer if you hear Yanny?
I don't know. Apparently you were colorblind if you saw like the yellow in the dress or whatever before.
Okay.
So I don't know what this means, but
maybe it's saying Yanny. Maybe it's just if you...
Laurel.
If you take a Yanny record and play it back, it's an old Laurel and Hardy routine.
Maybe you get like a lot less sexy when that happens.
Yes.
And your mustache like falls off your face. But yeah, so that is something that's going around. I just needed confirmation that I wasn't going crazy. And to be quite honest, I was kind of going to write it off until just when I played it for you, and now I don't hear it. It was that one time, for some reason, I thought it, like, I heard it start off as Yanny.
All right, play it one more time.
All right.
Laurel.
See, now I hear
it's Laurel.
Laurel.
I don't hear Yanny at all.
Like,
no.
I didn't either.
Not at all.
All right. If anyone has heard Yanny, just let me know, because this is something it's driving people on Twitter, and I have no idea how you can... Yeah, people are saying I heard Yanny.
Okay.
Okay.
It
well,
must mean that something's incredibly wrong
with
you.
We've lost our minds.
Laurel.
I still want to know how people pass out when they're on the slingshot and somehow get that going.
That is very strange. By the way, we have some kind of good news. Let me see if I can find that. I don't even remember what we called that. I don't have it. Oh, wait a second. Because we had some kind of good news about Thursday.
What's her face can't do it.
That's fine. With her, she's not the star.
Yeah, okay, so on Thursday we're doing Towny Jeopardy. And we have our returning champion bird. As always, Thursday at 8 o'clock, we're doing Towny Jeopardy.
I asked
Saugus' own adult film star, Tyler Faith, if she could come in, but she's going to a bachelorette party in Vegas.
Huh.
So she cannot make it.
Okay.
A bachelorette party?
Well, that's what she said.
Okay.
And so there is a...
How can I not find this clip?
That I requested. He's been known for his Wheaties jacket.
No.
He came in and he won my heart.
Yeah.
He got my vote.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
In a certain contest we did. So it will be the return of a man who is known for saying, I can do it as well as you, the clip. Pasta. The pasta.
Oh.
I'll get up around 10 a.m., eat a bowl of pasta.
He will be one of our contestants.
He is one of the contestants that's coming in on Thursday. We're going to have to find another contestant.
Pasta.
So we need one Towny.
Okay, somebody, okay, yeah, so they're going to be in it. Okay, now there's a ton of people saying Yanny, but someone says, I'm an audio engineer, I got the answer. The L's are of a low frequency. If your headphones can't reproduce the low frequencies, you would just hear Yanny.
Laurel.
Pasta.
I'll get up around 10 a.m., eat a bowl of...
All right, so listen,
Laurel.
So should people tweet you, Rich, if they want to be the third man in?
I guess we could do that because now we need a third contestant because originally it was going to be Tyler Faith and it was going to be this guy and Bird. Yeah, should we do it? Just submit some for somebody.
Open auditions.
Just hashtag Towny Jeopardy.
A
quick video.
If you believe you got what it takes to be in Towny Jeopardy. Make a video of yourself. Make it, like, I don't know. Don't make it too long. Like, 30 seconds. There's no requirement.
Prize.
There's no prize. There's no requirement. But
the
if you think you can take on Bird, it's glory. It's Towny glory. Hashtag Towny Jeopardy. And give us a 30-second video or so. And maybe we'll pick you to be in studio to take on Bird and this guy.
Pasta.
Towny
and
Jeopardy.
If you get a chance, Rich, retweet that guy's original video to get involved in the contest because okay. It is disgusting.
All right. Now, I mean.
He's on, and it doesn't look fake. I'm sure he's playing it up a little bit, but he's pulling onion rings from, like, in between the cushions of the couch.
Yeah.
Get up in the morning. But he won my heart right away. The minute I laid eyes on that guy, I fell in love.
Yeah, that dude was awesome.
And then, but I'm the only one who voted for him. Did anyone vote for the toothless guy so he wouldn't run amok?
I did.
I did not.
I did.
Actually, no, we all voted for different people, and Bert Breer broke the tie, remember?
Right, because there was the toothless guy that was in here who, seemed like a good family man and everything. But when something happened that he couldn't blow into the kazoo or something, and it was making him get real pissed.
He was very angry.
So did you vote for him as a self-preservation?
Yeah, pretty much. He was kind of like the angry man in the corner, sure. And I didn't really want to take it out on me.
You had to throw him one vote.
All right, well, we got people saying, I heard Laurel that walked the other side of the room, heard Yanny. So this is a thing now, so.
Laurel.
I still hear Laurel.
All right, well, that's settled. So on Thursday at 8 o'clock, get your things in, hashtag Towny Jeopardy, and make a little video there. And
Nikki Knuckles. Let's reach out to Nikki Knuckles. Don't we have his phone number?
Do we have Nikki Knuckles' phone number? I don't know. Send in the videos anyway.
Oh, we got, send the videos just so we can stockpile them in case we need them. Nikki Knuckles, that's who we got to get in for Towny Jeopardy.
Well, we don't know if he can do it, so send in those
videos. Hey, this is from me. This is from Nikki Knuckles to Anderson. Anderson, I'm looking for you, you two-faced rat.
Okay, so look forward to that. So send
My
in your videos.
My name is Mark Cimelli.
Cimelli's dad would have to get drunk first. All right, so at Toucher and Rich, hashtag Towny Jeopardy, make a little video there. you know, bad tattoos, everything else that you think that we might like. Burp Breer, hopefully going to join us, talk a little bit.
Yes.
He's going to join us 9:20 talking about this legalized gambling thing. And the show of shows, two fantastic men, John Gruden and Guy Fieri. We couldn't finish it yesterday. We'll have that for you all coming up.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Something that we did not get to finish yesterday, which is the Guy Fieri, John Gruden, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, where they somehow find a Cuban sandwich in Miami.
That must have been tough.
Very difficult. But in terms of television, now, have you been watching Silicon Valley this year?
I am about three episodes in. I have not finished it. It has been, listen, it's disappointing, but it's always interesting. That show started off so good. Like, the first two seasons are two of my favorite seasons of television. Like, I mean, like, stomach hurt from laughing both seasons.
The first season finale, I was, like, standing up and pacing, like, the way that it ended.
It was great.
It was fantastic.
It was great.
This season, it's time for this show to end.
Well, you may be right. I mean, as I said, it's never, I don't watch it and go, oh, well, that was a waste of time. It's interesting, but it used to be, like, the best show on TV.
I check out. There's a couple times I've laughed, but, well, the series is over now. I haven't seen the last episode, but it's over. I mean,
oh, that's the end of it?
Yep, that's the end of it.
Oh, so I didn't know it was a series finale.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
That's it. Series finale tonight, as you guys are all going to be watching, is an hour-long New Girl. Well, they play one last game of True American, the drinking game. That's happening. The Mick was not renewed by Fox, but Last Man Standing, the Tim Allen vehicle, is coming back, so they can pop that on Friday nights. Now, I don't understand. I don't understand television at all. I don't understand how all these shows are out there. The Gilmore Girls, they make all this money.
Well, the Gilmore Girls made, what, like $9 million or something to make another season?
Yes.
And Netflix just throwing out cash at them?
Yeah. I tried to watch that Barry show with, what's-his-face from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, I heard Barry's excellent. Like, if you watch, because I tried to as well, but I heard if you get back on it, Barry's supposed to be unbelievable.
Okay. And then Brockmeyer, and this is a show that Wallach would very much like. Brockmeyer starting Hank Azaria.
Okay.
He plays a guy that was the play-by-play voice for the Kansas City Royals who finds out his wife was cheating on him in a very bad way. And then they flash 10 years later and he becomes the voice of this Harrisburg minor league baseball team. And he's a complete alcoholic and... That's a great show.
Doesn't he kind of talk like an old 50s reporter?
Yes.
Okay. He's got the voice like this. He's the bee's knees.
Yeah, in every situation, he talks like this.
Okay, all right.
So, Brockmeyer, I suggest.
Okay. Where can I find that?
Brockmeyer, do you have Hulu?
I do not.
You don't have Hulu?
I don't have Hulu.
Do you have Hulu?
No, I don't. I don't. I have Netflix and I got, like, you know, Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
I do not have Hulu.
I got all those.
For $9.99 a month. You can get all these shows with no commercials.
There's no specific show that they only have that I would want to watch.
Doesn't matter.
Netflix, there were shows, like Stranger Things and stuff like that.
There's so much television out there that it gives you an opportunity to catch up.
You got 90210 on Hulu?
Yep.
All right, I'm in.
I mean, it's $9.99 a month. Who cares? I mean, even if it had one thing you like, it's $9.99 a month.
It doesn't have anything. Like, I mean, but that's...
It has things. I'm telling you, Brockmeyer, that's the way you can watch it. You can go to Hulu.
I'm still behind. I've got a lot of shows I got to catch up on.
Right, and Hulu allows you the chance to do that.
So apparently a whole season of Check It Out with Dr. Steve Brule I haven't even watched, which I just found out the other day. How did I not know that?
There's a new season?
Yeah, there's like a season I missed. I completely missed it, apparently.
Is that the one where he got the car, Cherry Red?
No, I saw that one. I think there's one after that I missed, someone was telling me.
I don't think so.
Okay. Because I'm definitely ashamed of myself for not seeing that.
I can't believe you guys don't have Hulu.
Atlanta's a great show. That's one that I'm watching right now.
I want to watch that.
Yeah, season one. I just finished season one, and it's funny. It's a quick watch.
What was that on?
FX.
So you can probably get that on Hulu.
I should get on the DVR.
Well, I don't have a DVR. I mean, I didn't set it up for the DVR. And then you run out of room. I got three seasons of New Girl on that sumbitch because you know they're going to turn the tide and they're going to take it off Netflix or Hulu. $9.99 a month. Why wouldn't you just do it?
Everyone's telling me to watch Cobra Kai. on YouTube.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen all the commercials for it.
It confuses me because it's on YouTube.
Right. How do I get this up there?
No, I know how to get it on my screen. It just confuses me. I don't know. I don't know if I trust this YouTube so much.
Do you have to pay for Cobra Kai? Like, I know it's like YouTube Red. You have to have
YouTube Red is just out of my stratosphere. Okay. I don't understand that at all.
It's only $9.99.
Yeah, but it's too complicated. It's on your computer.
See, it has to get shot up there.
If anything is $9.99 a month that can give me an hour's worth of entertainment, it's worth $9.99.
Boston Sports Journal.
If anything can give me an hour's worth of entertainment that's $9.99, I will buy it.
Okay.
And so, I mean, it's not like I sit there and it gets charged to me and I'm like, where'd that $10 go?
I guess Brockmire's on IFC, so you don't
need
that. Okay.
But you know, where... See, you find... There's so much TV is that you find out after the shows air.
Sure.
So if you get Hulu, then you can go back and watch them. And the only reason I have Netflix is like you is for its original programming.
Yeah.
And the only reason I have HBO is for its original programming. But I don't have HBO. I have HBO Now, which is expensive. Now, that's like $15 a month.
Yeah.
Which, again, is whatever.
There's a lot of shows I like on HBO. That's the thing, is that I was thinking about doing the whole, you know, getting rid of it and just doing it a la carte. But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff on HBO I like.
No, with HBO Now, you get all the stuff. You get everything they ever aired.
Yep.
So you can go back and watch Larry Sanders' show and stuff.
Right. You watch Dream On.
I have Dream On DVD.
Underrated show.
You might be the only person who ever bought the DVD series of Dream On.
Well, that's a good show, though.
When you were a young man and
yes, sir.
Hello, Sock.
Oh. Brian Benben, I remember.
Brian Benben, not done much since.
Nope.
Okay. But Wendy Malick has had a great career since then.
And right after that, yep.
Appears on American Housewife. You ever see that thing?
No.
American Housewife?
No. Do you have kids?
Yes.
Do you just let them watch these terrible shows? If I don't pop on these shows, I want to kill myself. Even if something is brutally bad as The Middle, is better than anything on the Disney Channel.
They like game shows. Like, BattleBots is their thing.
Yeah, I can't watch that.
See, I'm all about that.
I can't watch BattleBots. I can't stand that.
But you can tolerate those, like, really bad, like, Nickelodeon and Disney Channel, like,
no,
sitcoms?
No, that's why I've seen every Goldbergs at least 8 times. Mm. And I'm not joking. I've seen every American Housewife at least 3 times because they're like at least shows for adults. No, like Sam and Cat and stuff. iCarly's the worst. Like they're like, hang on, Dan, and just allow me one moment, and then I will get to the headlines. So iCarly, the whole thing is like they're these brilliant, like, you know, I don't even know how old they are. Mm-hmm. They could be, you know, 12 or they could be 25. I don't know. And so the whole idea is there are these brilliant, like, viral video people, which is annoying already. And they did this, like, one thing where they're like, the viral video is woman thinks guy with mustache has a squirrel. It's not a mustache, it's a squirrel. And, like, I'm watching this thing going, like, my kids aren't laughing. Like, why is this on in my house?
Do you realize that you're infuriating a large group of listeners right now?
Why?
All I'm getting is tweets about saying, why is Fred pronouncing Hulu, Hulu?
Hulu?
Yes.
Like tattoo?
Tattoo?
Yeah, I do that completely to annoy people.
Well, you are.
Yeah, that's entirely why I do that.
People are angry that Fred is saying
they
that.
Should be. I'd be angry, too.
Yes.
No, I was saying Hulu as to be annoying. Okay.